If you have your Bibles, we're in Matthew chapter 5, and we're in the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a perfect passage to look at on Father's Day. Because when I look at this sermon and this passage in particular, this passage articulates Matthew 5, we're in 33 through 37. This articulates one of the most consistent messages that I've heard from godly fathers. And I'm thankful for godly dads. And godly fathers are a gift from the Lord. In fact, when I think about, there's nothing more influential than the voice of a godly father. I want you to hear that. There's nothing more influential than the voice of a godly dad. You know, when I look at this passage and this series that we're in, and we're calling it unparalleled because, you know, this passage this morning is kind of a focus on an unparalleled reputation. The funerals that I've done of godly men, that I've this has been a consistent lesson from them. And it's really a direct application of what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 33 through 37. And the biblical wisdom of a godly father. Let's stand together and let's read Matthew 5, 33 through 37. We stand, if you're a guest today, we stand in honor of God's word. And let's just look at this passage and just embrace what Jesus is saying and, you know, consider the examples of these godly dads. It says, Jesus says, again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, when you think about this is a perfect passage for Father's Day. Because godly dads, I had a dad that was a coach. He was a little earthy. He was a little rough around the edges. You know, some of the things that came out of his mouth, I shouldn't tell you today, as my father would agree. But you know what? My dad taught me, hey, be a man of your word. Despite some of the things that my dad did, I miss him. My dad taught me, be a man of your word. And when you say something, mean it. And that's what Jesus is doing here. The Sermon on the Mount is such a convicting, such an important passage. In this section of the Sermon on the Mount, over and over again, you see Jesus saying, you know, you've heard that it was said of old, but now I'm saying to you. And then he moves to this passage on integrity, pushing us to be people, to be followers of Christ. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount is a call to those who know Christ. Some of you in the room, you may not know Christ as your Savior. And that's why I pray that you look at Jesus. You consider him. You look at the godly men that have walked among us. That you consider the lives of these giants of the faith that we've known. These godly voices that we have seen. And Jesus is articulating this challenge of integrity. Now, integrity is an interesting word. It's a word that you may not always define. I looked at the definition of integrity, and there's several definitions floating around. Integrity is doing what's right, even when no one is looking. But the word integrity, you know what it comes from? It comes from this word integrate. You know, integrity is when you integrate something, you don't do that accidentally. No one accidentally falls into integrity. Integrity describes something that's intentional. And that's isn't that the voice of godly fathers? Be intentional. We've heard that today. And when you think about integrity, it's an important topic. The Bible is consistently reminding us, be people of integrity. If you're taking notes today, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. You got to write these down. Consider what God's word says. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he is crooked, though he be rich. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, I know that my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. And one of the things that Jesus keeps doing in the Sermon on the Mount is live with integrity. And especially when he speaks to the promises that you make, the word that you give, that your yes is yes, your no is no. I love what Amber and Addie are doing, and we have over 120 kids that are participating with them, and they're walking with us through the Sermon on the Mount. And this week, they're giving a visual and a pen with our children. If you have kids in the room, you can jump in with this. And this is an incredible thing. But I love what they did this week. They used a pen, a visual of a tree. And it's a perfect example as you think about Father's Day, as you think about the godly wisdom from godly fathers, as you think about you and your life, as your yes is yes and your no is no. It's like a tree. Yeah, a tree is stable. Psalm 1 is what they're going to look at. And the book of Psalms, it begins with this tree analogy, that when you walk with Jesus, you are like a tree that's planted by the river, and it's strong and it yields fruit. And this is what happens when our yes is yes and our no is no. This is what happens when you can be trusted. And as followers of Christ, we're called into a world that is longing for truth. They're longing to trust. And we as Christians, as we rub shoulders with a lost world, we must be people of integrity. And we get this. I mean, what happens when you meet somebody that has integrity? There's some benefits. The tree analogy is the stability of a tree is a good picture. You know, when you live with integrity, the relationships that you have that are closest to you, the business relationships that you have, if you are known to be a man or a woman of integrity, what happens? You have high trust. You have low fear with those that are around you, that know you. You know, the benefits of integrity are incredible because people will trust you. They won't fear your word. You know, as you consider what God's word says, Psalm 25:21 says, may integrity and uprightness protect me because God is my hope. You know, with integrity, when you live with integrity, it brings protection. If your yes is yes and your no is no, there's protection that people understand. Integrity, what does it do? It brings security. That's what integrity does. Proverbs 10:9 says, the man of integrity walks securely. That when you live with integrity, it brings security to your life, to those around you. Isn't that what a good father does? We just sang this song about, Lord, you are a good father. You provide. And this is why on Father's Day, it's important to hold up the example of God the Father, who is the best father imaginable. It's wise to hold up the godly father because they look like Jesus. And what does a godly father do? He brings security and helps you walk securely. And integrity, when you live with integrity, you're able to give guidance. I'm thankful for the guidance that I could trust from the lips of my father. And it's moved me to be a dad of my two daughters and my son. to have been trustworthy and to be one that they trust my guidance. You know what I'm finding now? Robin and I had I mentioned maybe last week that we were driving home from our wedding. Our last daughter got married. And we really feel a chapter in our life has closed and a new chapter has opened. And I'm discovering that as an older man, I'm going to turn 54 this month. That kind of flipped me out because I knew people who were 54. Oh my goodness. And you know, as I move into the phase of an older man, you know what I long for the most when it comes to my children? I long for their respect. I long for their desire to want to know what I've said. You know, and I pray if you're a younger father that you put God's word into practice today, that you become a younger father, your yes is yes, your no is no. I'm not just talking to dads today, all of us need to be followers of Jesus, that our yes is yes, our no is no. Because when you think about these things that integrity produces, it protection, security, guidance. Oh man, these things strengthen our relationships. Every relationship you have, it strengthens it. And so I think what Jesus is saying here to these Pharisees and the disciples that are gathered on the hill, a lot of times we focus on how Jesus is correcting the Pharisees, but do you know what? He's correcting every one of us. He's correcting everybody. He's trying to move all of us. He's not just pointing at the Pharisees going, you guys have got it wrong. He's looking at all of us, all through history. And he's saying, hey, look, let's walk with integrity. And what's he saying here? Well, there's just three applications for us that are very practical. And I think what Jesus is doing in this sermon is being very practical for us. And if you just want these three keys of this passage in Matthew 5, the first key for us, the first challenge for us, and we need to feel it, we need to embrace it, is we need to be people who tell the truth. And that's a challenge to us. Be a person that tells the truth. I mean, that's what he's talking about in this passage. He's already addressed anger. He's already addressed sex. He's already addressed marriage. And now he turns to integrity. This is the point of the sermon. And telling the truth is a key practice as we become people of integrity. Now the confusion here is that Jesus is correcting this common thought among the Pharisees, the things that they were being taught. You know, it is true when you look at the Old Testament that God had given permission that you could make a promise, you could swear by his name as to bring validity to what you were saying. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 says, fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Leviticus 19:12 says, and you shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. So we see in the Old Testament that God did give permission to bring credibility to your word. You could invoke the name of God. And what the Pharisees were doing is they were creating all these different rules that, you know what, you just can't swear by God's name, but hey, if you want to like get in this sophisticated game of, hey, I've got my fingers crossed, but I'm going to try to tell you something, I'll swear by Jerusalem or swear by something else. And Jesus is going, no, this is not how you should live. Look at verse 33, and let's just look at this. You've again heard that it was said of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. And this is what Jesus is saying here, that you, any promise you make, you need to be truthful. But I say to you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you can't make a hair white or black. And I know that some of you are going, yes, I can. I sure can. I'm finding it's harder and harder to make my hairs white or black because I'm losing my hair. But we get the point. You can't fake people out. And then verse 37, let's embrace it. And it's not rocket science. It's not really hard to understand. Jesus says in everything in your life, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. And so he's, you know, this is an important practice for us. And I want to encourage you to join us in understanding the Bible. It's valuable to interpret the Bible with the Bible, because a lot of people they look at this passage and go, wait, this seems to contradict what God has said, what God's word says. But the Bible does not contradict itself. You know, Paul swore on God's name in Romans 1:9. In Hebrews 6:13-19, God performs an oath. The Old Testament passage that we looked at, you can make promises in the name of God. You know, in fact, at Maggie's wedding, well, we watched them stand before God and make an oath to him. We made it clear that Maggie and Pike were, there was an unseen guest in the room, and they were saying, we promise to God. God will be committed in marriage. And if you're married, that's what happened in your life. You made an oath to God. And so what Jesus is not doing, and this is why he keeps saying, you've heard that it was said of old, now I'm saying to you, what he's doing, he's correcting the Old Testament understanding. This is why we've got to constantly be people that go back to the Bible. We've got to allow the Bible to shape the way we think. We've got to allow the Bible to shape the way we live. This is an important practice, because at this time, the Pharisees were communicating to the people of God, hey, we got a new way to follow Jesus, follow God. And you know, the truth is, we are people that must come back to the book. And the scriptures are very clear that he's not changing the Old Testament law in any of these examples. He's correcting, he is establishing the original meaning. And this is why we've got to understand what the Bible says. We've got to learn to read God's word correctly. There's a lot of people that don't apply the Bible correctly. They don't study the Bible correctly. And this is why I pray that we are a church that learns how to interpret God's word, learns how to understand God's word. Because it's my prayer for you, and the better you understand the word of God, the more effective you are at judging even what I say to you. I pray that every time somebody gets up here and preaches the word, that everyone in our congregation is able to discern, is this consistent? Is this right? Does this mesh with what God has revealed? And that's what Jesus is doing here. And he's saying to the Pharisees and the disciples and everybody, hey, I know you've heard this, but let me help you understand what God intended with his word. This is really important. And he's saying your yes needs to be yes. Your no is no. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delights. That we are to delight the Lord. It's a delight to the Lord when our yes is yes and our no is no. And this is in every aspect of our life, in business, in family, in marriage, in the way the circles we run in our home, the circles we run where we shop, the circles we run where we play, the circles we run where we work. My prayer is that that's who we become, men and women who learn these lessons from godly dads, that you your word can be counted on. As a famous quote from Mark Twain, he said, if you tell the truth, you don't ever have to remember what you said. Isn't that true? Like, I don't have to remember what I say to that person. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember. You're just people that tell the truth. And this is what godly dads have done. They tell the truth. And how many times have we celebrated the homegoing of a godly man and said, man, he was a man that told the truth. And my prayer for us is that we walk out of this place today committed to tell the truth. Men and women that tell the truth. This is what godly dads have done. Now, another thing, that, as I think about an application of this, your yes is yes and your no is no. Not only do you tell the truth, but I've seen this in godly dads, and I think it's a direct application of this text. You not only tell the truth, but you're able to own your mistakes. You know, godly men that I've known in my life, they've owned their mistakes. You know, I gave this to my son. This is a journal that I've kept for him for years. And I wanted him to have, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that there'll be a day my voice is gone. You know, my dad's gone. I miss him. And I want my son to have some things in my own handwriting. And you know, I've done several different things with this journal. It's kind of beat up. I've had it a long time. But one of the things I did is I asked my groomsmen, the guys that stood next to me at my wedding, would you write a note and a message to my son? And I just printed it off and put it in his journal. And, you know, one of my groomsmen, Justin Beadle, had Brad do it. I had all the men that stood as groomsmen, my brother, my friends in my life. And Justin Beadles was a pastor in Stillwater for many years, and he wrote some things to him. And I thought this was really funny. He said, you know, laughter and humor are gifts from God, he says to Eric. Nobody will allow themselves to be truly known by anybody they can't laugh with. Few things are more winsome than a man who doesn't take himself too seriously. I love that. I love this. He said, nobody sits around a campfire telling stories about the easy things they've done. Easy things are fun when you're doing them. Hard things are painful or exhausting when you're doing them. But really fun in retrospect. Try really hard things. I love that. I love, you know, he was an FFA state officer, Justin was. And so our FFA guys are just so impressive to me, always have been. But he writes to Eric. He said, Eric, when you screw up, admit it. All people know that people make mistakes. And most are surprisingly forgiving of the guy who will own up to his mistakes without any excuses. I thought, man, this is gold. It goes up right along with this passage. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Own your mistakes. And, you know, I think about the calling of a godly man, when your yes is yes and your no is no, you own your mistakes, you own some things, you own your personal walk with the Lord. And that's why I pray that we are men and women that walk with the Lord. And you know, if I loved Chris and Molly's baptism last week, and Mark's baptism, because they all admitted, man, this is a gift that I've been given. They've been forgiven by Christ. And that's where it begins. But you know, the truth is, once you come to know Christ, you own your mistakes. People are amazingly forgiving of those that understand, God, I need you. That's why the Sermon on the Mount is so powerful. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. When you come to recognize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, that's a critical step for you. To know that, God, I need you. To know that you're a sinner. That's part of owning your mistakes. I'm grateful that I had a father that, though he was a coach, you fight hard, you learn to compete, you practice, you work your tail off, but yet never forget that you need the Lord. Man, I'm so glad I had a dad that taught me that I needed Jesus. You know, owning his sin, owning his need of Christ. You know, that was what a dad taught me. You know, several verses came to my head, but I immediately thought of 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. As I thought about my dad, he always taught me, man, you need the Lord. But Chris, remember that, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it not to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body, keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should not be disqualified. And I'm thankful that I had a dad that said to me, look, work hard, run to win. Oh, but you need the Lord. And I'm so thankful for these godly men that I've known. Look at verse 37 again, Matthew 5. Let what you say simply be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let's consider that. Your life is simply yes or no. And it's simply this, that your word should simply be, if you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. If you say you're not going to do something, you're faithful not to do it. And this is the simple message. You know, when I think about what the application of this, tell the truth, own your mistakes, and then I wrestle through, how do you accomplish this? How do I ensure that I tell the truth, that I'm going to be one that tells the truth? How do I ensure that I can own my mistakes? It's one of the foundational lessons that we see in the godly men in our church, and we see this all over the place. I mean, I got a text message this morning from a group of men that meet together. I want you to know, if you're a man in this room and you don't have people in your life, we have groups that meet at all times of the week of men that get together and push one another. If you're interested in that, which I hope that you are interested in that, you ought to dig into it. That's why we have groups in our church. That's why Brad Ayler's focused on developing adult groups, and that's why all of our ages are developing groups and people to live life together, to walk together. When I think about godly men that I've known and godly men that have been people that have said, my yes is yes and my no is no, do you know what? One of the things that I see in their lives, they have been intentional about building a system of accountability. And I want to ask you, I've watched my dad build a system of accountability when he was alive. And I knew him. I knew that he needed that system of accountability. And that's not a slam on my dad. That's a reality for all of us. We need to be accountable. And if we're going to be people that our yes is yes and our no is no, do you know what has to happen in your life, in my life? There has to be accountability. The word accountable means to be regularly answerable for each of the key areas of our lives to qualified people. That's what accountability looks like, is that there's qualified people that will be around you, that will push you, that will know you, that you're opening your life up. And you know what? The godliest men that I've known have not been those men that have said, you just pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Now, the godliest men that I've known, they worked hard and they endured. But you know what else? The godliest men that I've known have understood they needed other men around them, other people around them to help them. And this is what I see in this passage, as I think about how can I ensure in my life that my yes is yes and my no is no, I got to be a man that tells the truth. I got to be a man that owns my mistakes. I pray you're a woman that owns your mistakes. I pray you're a woman or a man or child or student. Tells the truth. Right? And you know, I'm thankful for the accountability system. That's why the church is here. That's why we work hard to connect with one another, to know one another. You know what the wisdom of God's word says? Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The fact that you'll have friends in your life that are willing to wound you, can I just say, if you don't have friends that are willing to go, I'm going to get in your grill, I'm going to, you know, I told my groomsmen, hey, I expect you to speak into my life, and if I ever bail on Robin, I expect you to come see me, not to pray for me, but to come bring some heat on me. You know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Proverbs 13, 20. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. You know, I think this is a great passage on Father's Day. You know what? The Heavenly Father is reminding us, and it's the crux of the Sermon on the Mount. This entire sermon is intended for believers that walk with the Lord, that know the Lord. When I look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's the Christian life from start to finish. That's why as a follower of Christ, we've got to understand how important it is that we keep our word. Do you know why? Because just like right now, my name is Chris Wall. You know, I carry the name of my Father. I will carry the name of my Father the rest of my life. I grew my beard last year. Greg Lee, my high school friend, put on Facebook, you look like your dad. You know what? My prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, do you know what it is calling us to do? Is to look like our dad. Consider what we've sung today. Jesus, I love you. Praise the Father. We are to carry the name of our Father. And do you know where that begins? It begins where Molly and Chris were. They came to know Christ. That begins with you. Do you know Jesus? I just want you to know that, yeah, you can be a man of integrity or a woman of integrity. And it's wise to do that. But let's recognize the crux of the Sermon on the Mount. Do you know where the power comes to keep your word? Do you know where the power comes to really live with integrity? It comes with the foundation of a relationship with Christ. And oh my goodness, that's something you can't earn, you don't deserve. It begins with you coming to receive a gift. You know, I gave those guys a gift. I didn't tell them I was giving them a gift. But they could have not accepted it. They could have said, I got a hammer. I'm sure Steve has a hammer. But you know what he did? He received the hammer. Have you come to receive Christ? That's kind of what it looks like. When you come to Christ, you receive a gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. And oh my goodness, I don't want you to even look at a sermon like this and go, oh, I hope you're more moral. Because if you are more moral, you'll get to heaven. Oh no, that's not what the Bible, that's not the message of God's word. You've just come in the middle of this sermon. I pray you come to know Jesus. You know what? Our staff's going to be down front. And maybe today you feel conviction because you're a Christian. And when you look at your Christian life, there's inconsistency with your word. And I just pray you embrace this calling to be a man and a woman that tells the truth, that owns your mistakes. Maybe you need to own some mistakes today. Maybe you need to today say, Lord, before I leave, I will stop by that Connect Center and I'm going to build this system of accountability. I'm going to begin to jump into groups. I'm going to find some groups. Oh, let's take advantage of this Father's Day by looking at the godly fathers that have been in our lives. Would you stand where you are? Our staff's going to be down front, and maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to grab somebody to pray. Maybe you need to come to Christ. My prayer is that you respond to what God has said to you today. Father, I love you. Father, we need you. I thank you for camp this week. I thank you for this sermon that confronts us, that moves us to understand your word. Father, I look around this room and there's got to be somebody in this room in a crowd this size that they don't know you as Savior. I pray, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit would move in front of us and among us. Lord, may we dig into accountability. Lord, may you speak to us today. Thank you for your word. Move us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.